Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I wanted to talk this morning a little bit more about understanding power and authority. Understanding power and authority. You know, the Lord's given us power, and he's given us authority. And we look at the difference between the two, that God just didn't flippantly say to Jesus, "Oh, just before you leave, handball the power and handball the authority over to the church." What good is power? What good is authority if you don't understand what its limitations are, but what its benefits are also? Got your Bibles there with me? Let's go begin in Matthew chapter 16. A great revelation that Peter had, that Jesus was the Christ, Son of the living God. Love that question that Jesus asked him. "But who do men say that I am?" Got the answer. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter comes out with that great revelation: "You are the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, Son of the living God." And in verse 18, Jesus replies to Peter, and he says, "I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, that is the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it." The gates of hell, friends, will not be able to withstand, or won't be able to withhold, the advancing of the church that Jesus said he would build. I wish we could get it, that Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I wish we, particularly in the Western culture, would stop trying to build our church, my church, this church. At the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I really sense there's a presence of the Holy Spirit just leading us back to Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. Just the focus that what God did through his son Jesus shouldn't build us a ministry, but we should ever be building the kingdom, and that should be always be our ministry. Jesus' words here in Matthew talks about an advancing body of people. Not a group that just sits down and just enjoys one another's company. When a body is moving forwards and the enemy tries to attack, they've already got a momentum that can stop any attack of the enemy. And Jesus lays it out very clearly here, that the gates of hell itself will not withstand the progress of Jesus' church. Amen. Jesus goes on in John and talks to us about greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us. His power, we talked about this a little bit last week, God's power through his son Jesus and again through Holy Spirit is greater in us than any power that the enemy has. Amen. Where there is head-on conflict between the enemy and a born-again, spirit-filled believer, the born-again, spirit believer should always come up on top, victorious, the winner, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Amen? So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. How do we live? How do we walk? in the power and the authority that God's given us. We know that there's two realms we live in. There's the natural and there's the supernatural. We need to know how to live in the natural, but operate from the supernatural. To be able to see and experience and hear and know beyond their knowing, just like Jesus did. Amen? If we only allow the natural realm to affect us, then the spiritual realm will get inside of us and mess us up. And I want to talk about that shortly. You and I need to be living in a way that affects the spiritual realm, because that, friends, is where the attack comes from. Lack might seem a natural thing, but it comes from a supernatural realm. Sickness might be a natural thing to natural people, but you and I are not natural people. We are supernatural beings. We are born again. Our spirit man has been brought alive in Christ. Amen? And so we need to operate from that knowing who you are in Christ, what your authority is, and what power you have in His name. I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I had this revelation probably going back 10 years ago now. And it came out of this passage where Paul writes to the church. It was one of those dir moments, if you like. I haven't got any blonde hair, but I felt like a bit of a blonde when the revelation hit. Apologies to the blondes. I shouldn't make blonde jokes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes and he says, "But I will come to you, and shortly, if the Lord is willing, and then I will perceive and understand not what the talk of these puffed up and arrogant spirits around us amount to, but their force." The Amplified says, "the moral power and the excellence of soul they really possess. For the kingdom of God consists of and is based on not talk, but power." Moral power and excellence of soul. I started to understand that we can talk the talk all day long. You know, I had so many football experts speak to me this week about who was playing and what position and, you know, what they're going to do and na 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 na. I even had my 3-year-old granddaughter say to me the other day, "Grandpa, Eddie Betts is best friends with my dad." And we all went, "What?" Talk the talk, but don't have the power. Paul had the revelation that with all his education, with all his understanding, with everything he had in his natural realm, he lacked the power and the authority that God wanted to give him in that supernatural realm. For the kingdom of God is not words, but it is power. Amen? Shaking at the knees, perspiring on the arms, putting up a shaking hand and say, "In the name of Jesus, go away, demon." And I've heard it prayed. Words can be just words. But God wants His word to have the power and the authority behind it. Amen? I was committed to the word. I was committed to the truths of God. I taught, you know, as a chaplain, I taught school kids. I began to preach more. I began to share my confidence in God's word more and more. But I knew when I read this passage that what I was speaking lacked the power that God wanted me to use. I began to switch things around. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I've given myself to you through my word." And His word has got power. His word has got authority. And He said to me, "Will I give myself back to Him through the power of His word operating in my life?" and it began to turn me around. It began to bring me on track with the power that is based in God's word. Amen? Excuse me. So you and I then need to understand how to appropriate the power that's in God's word and to do his work through that power, and that our lives should be characterized by the power of God within us. How many really have the revelation that the power of God is in you? And to how often does it work? Because I think if we were really truthful, we have this fleshly part of us that takes over from time to time, and it quenches what the Spirit of God wants to do in us. Because friends, if the fullness of God's power and authority was with us all the time, and it was operating with us all the time, you and I would not be in the places we're in all our lives. God, we love his word. We love to hear about the power, the authority, the testimony, the answers to prayer, all those sort of things. But as I read the Gospels, as I follow the steps of Jesus, as I follow what happened in the book of Acts and what God did, not just with Saul, conversion to Paul, but all those other things that happened in the Acts of the Apostles, I'm hungry for a better way of doing things in that power and that authority. Aren't you? When they walk in the door and they're after bread, you give them the bread of life and they go out saved, made whole, restored. Friends, it's just not happening. We have loved ones who are sick, and again, it's so good to see the Lyles back in the house. Sick and confined to bed. You know, if we were stronger in the power and the authority of God, we would have gone around to their house. We would have gone to the hospital with Myrna. As we walked through the wards, sick beds would have got empty. You know, Lyles would have been up dancing and skipping around their backyard healed. Demons would have fled. But that's the power God wants us to operate in, not just when it feels good, but all the time. You want to be super spooky? You can be super spooky. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I might upset you this morning. I might upset your theology. But if you are filled with the power of God, and we all are if we're born again believers, then we need to understand how to operate in that power and that authority, not just when it feels good. Amen? I'm speaking to myself as well as you, because I believe God's got bigger things in store that we haven't even thought about yet. We're comfortable in our comfortability. We declare Jesus as Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But we're not actually living what he's called us to live in. Is that honest enough this morning? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Again, Paul writing to the church. And he says, "And so you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength." Paul writes to the church. He's writing to us today. And he says, "I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power." How incredible is his power to you, to me, to us as a church, to you as families, to you as couples, to you as individuals? You know, if we were living in the back blocks of Russia today, we might be sharing one Bible between five people. You might have the Apostle John, you might have the book of Luke, you might have 1 Corinthians, and then we do swapsies. You've had it for a week, now it's my turn. I think the power of God would be operating in our life a lot more, because we'd be taken out of what we call comfortable and stretched in our faith towards God. Amen? I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in Russia. But I do want to know and understand and get a revelation of the greatness of His power in me for me to use. Amen? I pray that you begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. Where are you going to find that out? I didn't see Jesus in any weightlifting books this week. I didn't see any pictures of Him picking up the mountain and holding it above His head and throwing it into the sea. But as I read the Gospels, as I follow the journey of Jesus, demons fled because they didn't want to be in His presence. Sickness went because of the authority that was in His Word. Amen? Paul writes earlier here in Ephesians, I pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation will be given to you. And Paul was praying it over the areas that he ministered in. I pray that you begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe. Friends, this is the same power which was brought about in Christ when He was raised from the dead. And God took Him and placed Him at His right hand in heavenly places. And you're seated there with Him now. A place far above all rule and authority. A place where there's power and dominion. A place where every name that is named, not only in this age, but ages to come, bows at that name. And Jesus put everything into subjection under His feet. Everything. And now that same authority, that same power is given to us. How many of you could really do with a good healing? A good healing. No niggling coughs. No sore feet. No aching shoulders. You know, a divine healing. Bang! Back into the fullness of what God created you in. How many could you do with a little bit more finances? Oh, only a few of you. I'm going to put up both my hands. To do God's work, not to just give you luxury in life, but to do what you call, you do with a little bit more joy in your life. Well, hands are getting less. What about peace? How many would love a bit more peace in your lives? And that comes with the power and the authority that God gives you through His Son Jesus, empowered by Holy Spirit. Other than the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't see Jesus in any state of distress. And He worked His way through that because He said, I'll only do the will of my Father. Jesus said, everything is now subject to me as the head of my church, the body of Christ. Not about you, but my head is connected to my body. I don't have any of those fancy bolts that undo and take it off and put on a better model. I'm connected to the head. Are you connected to the head? His name is Jesus. And from the headship flows down into the body all power and all authority. And it starts to fill up down to the big toe. Fill up the toes, start to gurgle, get some bubbles out. What do we do when we're filled with the power and the authority of heaven itself? What do we do with it? Hallelujah. 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 We laugh at that sort of thing, but I wonder some days Is that all we're doing with what God's given us? Are we bold as lions? Are we really filled with His Holy Spirit? Are we evidence of Christ being the center of our lives? It's tougher, isn't it? Right between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension, the Bible says He exhorts the disciples several times about the commission that He's going to place on them to go through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That wasn't the commission Jesus put on any of us. He filled us with His Spirit. He's given us power and authority to preach good news, to bring the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, to people who were like you when you were full of sin, when life wasn't working out, when they were down, when they were out. And when I read the Gospels, I see the head of the church, our CEO, if you like, Jesus Himself, not just telling us what to do, but demonstrating us what we can do. Amen? Friends, it's a challenge for us as believers, especially in this westernized Christianity we've got, to do what He's called us to do. But as I look at the life, as I look at the ministry of Jesus, I compare it to how our church is measuring up. And I'm in that. I'm not the head of the church. I'm part of the body, just like you are. I look at my ministry areas, what God's placed me in. I look at the growth. I look at the love for the Lord. I look at how we're shifting and changing. And yes, there's been shift, there's been change, but I sense God's got so much more in store for all of us if we're prepared to walk and live in that power and that authority He's given us. Amen? Jesus says, as the Father sent me into the world, what does He say after that? I am now sending you. Was He talking just to the 12? Was He talking to future generations of disciples? He was. As my Father sent me into the world, into the world, they use funny words out there. They smoke, they drink, they tell dirty jokes. They use the F word. It's not faith. Don't you think Jesus had that same world? Don't you think those people that He ministered to weren't squeaky clean like you and me? Jesus didn't say, I'm going to get you 100% perfect, and when you're 100% perfect, then I'm going to send you out. We sang that song earlier, just as I am. What? I come. Just as I am, I wait. Just as I am, Lord, I sit. But we sang the words, just as I am, I come. I can't believe what God has done and continues to do with my life. I stand back in amazement at the places He takes me to, the people He introduces me to, the opportunities He gives me. That's all right, you're the pastor. No, I'm Lou. Who are you? I'm the son of a king. Who are you? I'm the apple of His eye. Who are you? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Who are you? I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. With that comes that dunamis power, that ability, efficiency, might. What about you? You see, my title pastor has nothing to do with the authority I've got. Because I believe in the priesthood of all believers. But God is no respecter of persons. You come to Him as a sinner, He makes you into a saint. He calls you holy, He calls you righteous. He gives you the full authority of heaven as He's given it to me. We look in the book of Acts, particularly from chapter 2 onwards, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we see that the church becomes alive and starts to gain momentum into its community. I pray that one day we have such a Holy Ghost visitation ourselves. Wouldn't you like that? Come in one way, go out another. Come in unsure, come in full of religion, come in lacking faith, come in doubt, come in unbelief, come in sickness, come without, just as I am, I come. And then the Holy Spirit comes and messes you up and fills you. Whoosh. And we go, But as you begin to read the book of Acts, they gathered together, they began to share meals. What does the Lord do in this? He says, well done, church. Keep up the good work. Well, the Bible says he adds to the church daily. He continued to add because there were believers operating in the authority, operating in the power that God had given them. Where are we? If Jesus hadn't ascended, if Jesus had stayed on planet Earth after his resurrection, and just continue to do, you know, a few field trips here and there, perhaps an overseas every now and again, perhaps go down to Australia. Friends, we wouldn't have the coming of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have the church set alight. We wouldn't have religion boxed back in where it should be, and the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ begin to expand and explode and travel regions. Go into the Judeas and Samarias and uttermost parts of the earth. Right through Acts and Romans, we begin to see what Jesus talked about and demonstrated. The very ministry of Jesus Christ himself begin to now live in the body and to expand. You know, when he was ministering here on earth, he was ministering as a human man, just like you and I. Can we grasp that? That he grew up from that babe into that young man, following his father's footsteps in the natural, but also in the supernatural. And on that day of baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptizer, he entered into his ministry as a man. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was also a man. He was human. And he rounded up his disciples and he began to demonstrate what ministry is all about under the headship of his Father. I don't know how often you read the Gospels, but there were days full of adventure. There were days seeing some wondrous things. There was days where, you know, just unbelief stopped any miracles happening. That shouldn't happen to God's own Son, should it? So we have a backdrop to what God was saying through the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I pray that you'll gain insight and understanding. Excuse me. I pray that you'll get revelation about the surpassing greatness of the power of God that's at work in you. It's not on holiday within you. It's not on vacation. It's not entering into retirement. It's operating within you. God's put it in you as a born-again believer. Later in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about the power that's at work in you. It's the same power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. How does that work? How does God operate in the power to bring someone back from the dead who's been brutalized, who's been whipped, who's been nailed to a cross, who's been dead in the tomb for 3 days? That, friends, is power. and that same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is in you. Amen? Let's say this together. The power that raised Jesus Christ from death is resident in me. Do you believe that? Let's say it again. The power that raised Jesus from death is resident in me. You've confessed it. Now you've got to live it. It's resident in you. Sitting back, having a rest, ready when you are. Do we have the revelation of what that really means? How many of us have asked God, I need more power. I need more authority. Wrong question. It's there. The full power, the full authority of heaven itself is resident within you now. From the point of your salvation onwards, the fullness of heaven resides in you. So what's hindering us? Are we continually asking for more power? More authority? More revelation? Or we just don't know how to tap in on that power? I put it this way. We need to understand what it is to release that power that we've already been given in our union with Jesus Christ through salvation. What good's a car battery sitting in your garage when you're trying to start your car? What good is it trying to turn on the electric light if you turned off at the main switch outside your house? What's the sense in trying to pick up weights if you've only allowed your muscles to develop to a certain place where you can only lift light weights? So what then is inhibiting the power of God from being released in our life? Friends, we can't minister in God's name, we can't minister in God's authority when we're not living under God's authority. And if we're all honest, there's areas of our lives that need to be tidied up as far as living under God's authority. Amen? Are we okay with that? Jesus the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, as true God, yet true man, lived underneath his Father's authority. Am I right? Just do this if you agree with me. Jesus himself said, there's nothing I'll do, there's nothing I'll say unless I've seen my Father do it or I've heard my Father say it. He lived under full authority of his Heavenly Father. Here's a couple of verses. John 5, verse 30. But I do nothing without consulting the Father. I do just as I am told. My judgment is absolutely just because it is according to the will of God who has sent me. It's not merely my own. And John 8, verses 26 and 28. I have so much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he alone is true. Verse 28. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will realize that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak what the Father has taught me. Jesus only did and said what he heard from the Father. Now there's a challenge for all of us. isn't it? What time is being consumed by worldly things when we could be studying the Word, when we could be praying, when we could be just enjoying His presence? The main reason, I believe, Jesus' power is released and so available much, much more in the Gospels than it is for us, is that Jesus was sensitive to make sure everything He did and everything He said was in obedience to the Father. He literally lived His whole life within the will of God. Didn't have a spirit of independence, didn't have a spirit of rebellion, didn't have a spirit of insurrection. He had a spirit of absolute submission to His Father. Now you try that in your tomorrow. Well, tomorrow might not be too bad. It's a public holiday. Try that in your working week. Try that in your business dealings. Try that in your relationships with your friends, your family who are not yet born again. Try living like Jesus lived, where He could be offensive to those who needed to be offended, but in that so loving and caring to the lost sheep. I'll finish with this verse out of 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. And it says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. Sometimes what we think we're doing to bring glory to God is actually rebellion against Him. That's why I like reading the Gospels so much in a month. Over and over and over. Hearing the voice of Jesus. Recording His actions. Seeing His response to things. Friends, can I leave you with this question? Do we as the body of Christ have any independence still operating in our life? In that, do we lack full submission to the will of God? Do I have rebellion? Jesus understood it so well that He would not dare let any sense of rebellion against the Father's will come into His life. Now we can justify our life any way we like, and we're good at that. Oh yes, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't have to. Talk to your Father about it. Oh, but you know, circumstances and situations, I've got to do it this way. Really? Talk to your Father about it. I want us this week to talk to our Father lots and lots and lots. I want you to be open and honest with God Himself and saying, Lord, I know I've got the power. I know I've got the authority. But Lord, how do I release that to bring glory to Your name and bring freedom to others? Talk to your Heavenly Father. See what He says, because next week we're going to talk a little bit more about understanding how power and authority can be released in your life. And I know God wants to, for His name's sake and for the sake of humanity, because Jesus is coming back soon, friend, and there's going to be so many left behind unless we do something about it. Amen.